The following radio interviews were conducted by Tim Behrens of KJSL Radio in St. Louis during the July 2005 SDA General Conference. In this segment, we'll be speaking with Dr. Jeffrey Drew.
Good morning, Dr. Drew.
Yes, good morning, Tim.
No relation to J.D. Drew?
I don't believe so. If you can hear the accent, I'm a South African and... cricket is my game.
Okay, all right.
Very good. Exciting game of cricket.
Oh, man.
Yes.
The most boring game in the world. I went to a cricket match in Australia with my brother. My brother lives in Australia.
Yeah.
And I thought, at what point is he going to get up and leave? I mean, it was
a sticky
wicket.
It
was like reading
it,
Leviticus before I go to bed.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
It was just, oh, my goodness. But anyway, we're glad to have you with us. You want to say hi to the 70,000 Seventh-day Adventists that are in St. Louis this week?
Yes, I do. And in fact, if many of my friends are there, they might remember me. I was a Seventh-day Adventist until 1990.
Now, were you born and raised a Seventh-day Adventist, Dr. Drew?
I became a Seventh-day Adventist with my parents when I was about 10 years old.
10 years old.
Yeah.
So is it really,
I must admit, in those days, in my early youth, I was very eager to get into everything, to mm-hmm. get into all of it, mm-hmm. And to get to know what the Bible said, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, when did you leave Seventh-day Adventism, and why did you leave it?
Well, I left during a period of 5 years, from 85 to 1990, basically by listening to Christian radio.
Mm.
And some wonderful brothers on the air, Vernon McGee, Charles Swindoll, and John MacArthur's teaching was so clear that it led me out, led me into the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And I've enjoyed my freedom in Christ ever since 1990.
Do you remember what in particular it was that, like, Dr. McGee said about the Sabbath?
Not the Sabbath so much. Dr. McGee was very bold and straight. He said Adventism was a cult, and I thought that was a bit strong. But the particular doctrine that really swung me around was the teaching on hell and eternal punishment,
mm-hmm.
because Adventists are soft on that.
They don't believe in eternal punishment.
No, they don't. They believe in annihilationism. Which is not biblical.
Mm-hmm. Which I would think is gives them an attraction, because before I got saved, I looked for a church that didn't preach about hell.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, it was attractive to me in my young days. I remember sneaking into the basement of a Methodist church one time and hearing that message preached, and it gave me the chills.
Huh.
And I left, but it sowed a seed. I kept thinking about it. And when my life got into difficulties, and it was very clear that I was a horrible sinner, I began to wonder about my destiny.
Yeah, I mean, how do you get around Matthew 25:46, where Jesus talks about everlasting punishment, the same word that talks about the eternity of the everlastingness of heaven is the same word they use for hell?
You can't have it both ways.
No, no. No.
If you want heaven and eternity, you have to consider that there is a hell, which speaks of one of the attributes of God, his eternal wrath.
Mm-hmm. So why is it that so few Adventists really have the joy? I mean, they're so afraid of messing up. I noticed
I think they're stuck in a system of legalism. You know, mm-hmm. they're Judaizers. They hang on to Old Testament things. Mm-hmm. They're trying to put Jesus Christ into an old wineskin.
Mm-hmm.
One of those wineskins is the Sabbath, of course, but the other one is their vegetarian system of eating,
mm-hmm.
Which, by the way, they don't take very seriously themselves, because I think less than 50% of Adventists are practicing vegetarians, even although they promote it, I think, as a snare and a hook to unsuspecting unbelievers.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't promote unity in the body of Christ, and certainly it doesn't help them in their evangelism. Imagine you're in the middle of New Guinea amongst cannibalistic headhunters, and you're trying to tell a village of young Christians there, young in the Lord, that they have to abandon pork and become vegetarians when they've been eating meat and chickens and all kinds of things before that. It does not help. It confuses the gospel.
One of the... I was going to share the Loma Linda veggie burger story, but I think because we're so short on time here, I want to go to the Sabbath situation. What do you do with the Sabbath now?
Oh, the Sabbath now is part of my freedom. Mm-hmm. I was telling a friend the other day, old habits die hard. I still have my little Saturday afternoon nap, but I find that that helps me to prepare so that I can serve the Lord richly in good vigor and energy on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I'm not a Sunday Sabbatarian at all. I'm not a Sabbatarian period. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Sunday, I think Christians worship. They worship any time they can find the right time to worship. Mm-hmm. And the Sabbath has taken its place in history for me. It is the last authorized Sabbath that Jesus allowed was the one that he celebrated in the grave. When he arose from the grave, he declared the whole entire Mosaic system and all of its ceremonialism done.
Yeah, and 9 of the 10 commandments are repeated in the New Testament with the exception of the Sabbath commandment, Colossians 2:16-17, so let no one judge you in food or in drink or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbath, which are a shadow of things to come, exactly, but the substances of Christ. As our friend Laurie McGregor would say when she was confronted by a Seventh-day Adventist, you know, I like to worship on Sunday. You like to worship on Saturday. Why are you judging me? You know, mm-hmm, you're satisfied on Saturday, that's fine. But just don't get hung up on it. And,
well, it is very judgmental, mm-hmm, and they don't begin there, of course. This is very much later in your life in Adventism that they begin to emphasize this, and it's in the congregations that you find little clusters of people who gather around the writings of Ellen G. White, mm-hmm, and promote this fanatical point of view.
Let me ask you this. How wise is it for your body to be a vegetarian? What happens to your bones?
Well, there's nothing really particularly healthy about the vegetarian lifestyle. It takes you away from good, normal, healthy food. I mean, essential fatty acids are abundantly present in meat. Crab, crayfish, seafood, lobster, pork, lamb, mutton, beef, they're all rich in essential fatty acids, and the term essential is a medical term meaning absolutely necessary. You need it for good health, and to avoid it is to buy into poor health, is to get into fatigue and debilitation of many kinds.
Could you take a couple of calls?
Sure.
All right, we'll continue with Dr. Jeffrey Drew. He's a medical doctor, a former Seventh-day Adventist. If you're a Seventh-day Adventist listening, we invite you to call, or maybe you have a question about the Seventh-day Adventist faith. 314-969-6300, 314-969-6300.
Tim Behrens and Al Gross.
Besides being tremendous singers, they're church people.
This is Mornings with Tim and Al on AM 630 KJSL.
7:55, we'll spend about 5 more minutes here with Dr. Jeffrey Drew, a former Seventh-day Adventist. He's an MD. We've got Stan on the line. Good morning, Stan.
Good morning.
Hello,
Stan.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead, Stan.
Now, my name is Star.
Star, I'm sorry.
Now, Dr. Drew, 1 John chapter 3, verse 4 says that sin is transgression of the law, and that includes all 10 commandments, not just 9.
Well, certainly it includes the whole law, which is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. He fulfilled it all. If you believe Leviticus 23, where all the ceremonial days are listed, and Jesus fulfilled the Passover, and he fulfilled the Pentecost, and he fulfilled the all those feasts, and the Sabbath is listed there, then you surely believe that he is your rest and he fulfilled the Sabbath.
Yeah, there's Sabbath feast days, but there's also a Ten Commandments Sabbath, which is the fourth commandment, as you know, and we're going to be keeping all 10 commandments in heaven. Adam and Eve kept all 10 commandments.
Well, not in the present dispensation, which is the new covenant. You know, the new covenant is all about our freedom, And it's also about our unity in the body of Christ in order to evangelize, get as many people in the Lord to be saved.
Well, like in heaven, we're not going to be stealing or killing. In heaven, we're not going to be, you know, we don't have any other gods before me. That's the first sin. Lucifer had another god before him, which was his self. The Ten Commandments is the universal law, the whole universe.
Well, how do you deal with Colossians 2:16-17 then, Stan, that we just read? Star, I'm sorry.
That's fine.
That's Sabbath feast days. They were done away with. That wasn't
You can't divide and conquer like that.
No.
Thank you for your call, Stan.
Star.
Star.
Let's go to Tom.
It's fun getting old.
Yes, sir.
More ginkgo biloba today. Okay, all right.
Hey, Tom, welcome to
the
program.
Hey, hello. First of all, I'm not a vegetarian, but I do have a question, especially being a doctor. If these essential oils are found in these meats, then did some evolutionary change occur between Adam and Noah then? Because what was their meat?
Well, things have changed. You better believe it. We live in a fallen world. We live in a world with the curses of sin. And the Lord God allowed us to eat meat after the flood for our survival, frankly. And, you know, our present longevity is established by God. He says to David in Psalm 90, the years of men are 70, and by reason of strength some get to be 80. Well, that hasn't changed much. And you argue, Adventists like to argue, that it was meat that abbreviated the lifespan of men. I don't think so. It's got nothing to do with meat. Mm-hmm. It's God abbreviating the life of men to 70.
It's a different atmosphere after the flood.
Yes. Sin might have had something to do with that.
Yeah, let's go to Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Good
welcome.
Morning, Deb.
Hello, Debbie.
Good morning, Debbie. You're on with Tim and Al and Dr. Drew.
Quick question. I am a born-again Christian, but I do have a question about the Sabbath day because I struggle with this.
Yes.
My understanding is that the week is laid out, so the 6 days represent our 6,000 years of earth, and then the seventh day is represent our millennial period with Christ. And my understanding is that has not been fulfilled yet because we aren't there yet. So when we rest on the Sabbath day, we are looking forward to the time we do spend with Jesus in our 1,000-year reign. And that's why I struggle with this, because I think that's why you said you remember the Sabbath day.
Well,
thank you, Debbie.
Remember your Creator is the issue. Focus on your Creator and certainly take your rest. As a physician, I can certainly recommend that one day in seven you take up some rest.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said in the beginning, I like to rest on Saturday because it gets me all fresh and invigorated and strong for worship, which is a full-time business for me on Sunday with 3 hours of wonderfully prepared messages at Grace Community Church here in Panorama City, Southern California.
Mm-hmm. You work with John MacArthur there. Are there any websites?
MacArthur. I need all my smarts and intelligence about me to apprehend the Word of God preached to me.
Tell John we said hi. We haven't talked to John for a while.
Yeah, he knows who we are,
I'm
afraid.
We've had him on a couple of times. Are there any websites? We've got about 20 seconds left. Are there any websites that you recommend?
You know, I have none in particular. My own website, weightfirst.com, touches on a few of these things.
W-E-I-G-H-T?
Correct.
Weightfirst.com.
Correct.
Very good. Or formeradventist.com. Thank you so much, Dr. Drew, for taking the time to be with us today.
It's a pleasure, Tim.
God bless you, sir.
And you too, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.